Hi, everybody. I just wanted to see who was asleep and who wasn't. I'm going to sing a couple songs just to keep Glenn awake. And called a mic drop, but it's not. Yeah, I got one. I just need this. Off. I'm getting double mic'd. I'm gonna put this one down for now.
Well, how we doing? I kind of pictured that going a lot better in my own mind.
Murphy is it?
Yeah. You know what it is when everything goes wrong? It's Murphy's Law. You know what they call tiny bits of cabbage? Cole's Law. Oh, you'll get that one middle of the afternoon. So
here we are in your presence, lifting holy hands to you. Here we are praising Jesus for the things he's brought us through. I just don't have the words to tell you how I feel. And I just don't know what I can say. I'm not worthy to speak your holy name, yet you tell me you love me just the same. Here we are in your presence, lifting holy hands to you. Here we are praising Jesus for the things he's brought us through. I never thought that it would be this way. I never thought I'd be the one. But you found me dying in my sin, and you looked at me with a love that took me in. Here we are in your presence, lifting holy hands to you. Here we are praising Jesus for the things he's brought us through. For the things he's brought us through. They say that heaven's pretty and living here is too. But if they said that I would have to choose between the two, I'd go home. I'm going home where I belong. Sometimes when I'm dreaming, it comes as no surprise that if you'll look, you'll see that homesick feeling in my eyes. I'm heading home. I'm going home where I belong. While I'm here, I'll serve him gladly and sing him all these songs. I'm here, but not for long. When I'm feeling lonely and when I'm feeling blue, it's such a joy to know that I am only passing through. I'm going home. I'm going home where I belong. One day I'll be sleeping when death knocks on my door, and I'll awake to find that I'm not homesick anymore, 'cause I'll be home. I'm going home where I belong.
I am thinking about heaven more and more and more and more. And I don't always know sometimes what songs I'm going to sing till I get here. And I have a bunch of them. This is what it looks like on my phone, by the way. And you just hit the button and it starts. And it turns blue once it's done. And what I have found is a lot of people who I sing to turn blue when I'm done. Okay, that's really lame. I was singing in a church in just south of Brantford a few years ago, and I used to have an iPad mounted on my, you probably have seen it, mounted on the mic stand. And when I get singing to the high notes, sometimes I just block the world out and I'm singing and it's just me and God, and I wasn't paying attention to my hand, and at the highest spot of the last song, I bumped my iPad and changed songs right in the middle of a note. It was anticlimactic, to say the very least. Anyway, I'm just going to sing this song and then we'll get into the word. Come home, it's supper time. The shadow.
length and fast. Come home, come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. When I was but a boy, in days of childhood, I used to play till evening shadows come. Then winding down an old familiar pathway, I heard my mother call at set of sun. In visions now I see her standing yonder, and her familiar voice I hear once more. The banquet table's ready up in heaven. Oh, it's supper time upon the golden shore. Come home, it's supper time. The shadows lengthen fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. We're going home someday.
So today, right now, in fact, my daughter is... you want me to switch mics? I'm just going to use this one. My daughter's being baptized in Brantford this morning. And it's your fault that I'm not there. No, I probably would have been somewhere else if I wasn't here. And it's just the way the Lord worked it out. My daughter was scheduled to be baptized in high school. And their church plant didn't have a building. They met in a community center. And so they had gone to one of the church members' houses who had a pool for the baptism service. And several of the high schoolers were scheduled to be baptized. And at the last second, they all changed their minds and didn't. And so a couple weeks ago, Anna messaged me and she said, I just wanted you to know I'm getting baptized. And it's a weird thing for her husband, who does not know Jesus, and his family. But they're all going today. And baptism is a unique thing for non-believers to watch. It's, you dunk them under the water. I mean, you do that with Oreo cookies, but not with people, right? You just don't dunk people under the water. And yet, buried in Christ and raised anew, washed clean of the old life, it's just an outward expression of what's going on in your heart. And when I was a kid, I used to weep in our little church whenever there was a baptism. I'm not sure whether it was the fact that it was way up in the ceiling in one of those old churches, or whether it was the water or what it was. But every time they'd go down under the water, I would break into sobbing to the point where my parents had to take me out of the church during those services. And now, in my ripe old age of 59, every time somebody comes out of the water, I go to pieces. Because you realize the change Jesus brings to your life. I mean, left to myself, I would do nothing but mess up. But because of Jesus, any one of us has hope that life will be better. So if you have your Bibles this morning, let's talk about a few things. I was going to mention to you when I started, I never would have imagined, I never thought I'd be the kind of person who would wake up early in the morning and go to the gym and exercise, and I was right. I don't. But how you envision life is interesting to me, and how you think things may turn out. When I was 34 years ago, I was a youth pastor in a Baptist church in London, and one of the kids in my youth group is named Gerald, and I said to Gerald one day, Gerald, what are you going to be when you're done school? You know, the proverbial, what are you going to be when you grow up? And he said to me, I don't know, because my father hasn't told me yet. And at the time, I remember kind of laughing at him. But the older I got, the more I realized that as you approach life from a Christian perspective, often it's, Lord, what do you want me to do? And when we get to junction places in our life, that's really where the crux of life really happens. If you've ever been in Burlington area, the junction, you'll know, is where 403 and 451, which is QEW, and the 407 all meet at that one spot. And it is a landlocked mess. So all of the news reports first thing in the morning are, how bad is the junction? Because that's where people get turned around. That's where everything goes awry. And you know what? I have found myself to be at a junction in my life. For work, sometimes. For a while this year, I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to sell the house and make thousands and thousands of dollars, and then I'll live on the money, and I will, anybody who on my friends list leaves their door unlocked, I will move into their house. That's what I'll do. Because you're at a junction, and you go, okay, Lord, I'm not exactly sure where to go from here. And it's in those moments that the words of Jeremiah brought comfort to me. And before we read it, let's look to the Lord. Father, in the quietness of this moment, I pray that your Spirit would minister to us and would give us hope for the future. And Lord, give us direction as we're at a junction. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah chapter 29, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn there with me. Jeremiah chapter 29, and then we're going to talk about three P's this morning. Three P's, and you can write them down if you are into alliteration. Three P's. Isaiah 29, beginning of verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. And there's a little bit of similarity here, because we have somewhat felt like we were in exile for the last 2 years. Almost feels like 2 years of our life was taken from us. And here we sit going, how long is this going to go on? And I'm not harping about, you know, the health and the government and all that stuff, except that it affected all of us, I think. And this is the message that Jeremiah delivered to the people. He said, build houses, settle down, settle down. If I had a dollar for every time my father told us that. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you. Verse 10, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed from Babylon, I will come to you. Can you imagine if in the middle of the pandemic we got a letter from God that says, only 68 more years? I will come to you and will fulfill my promise to bring you back to this place. And verse 11 is perhaps one of the most prolific verses in all of Scripture. In fact, you've heard this 100 times, I'm sure. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. So three P's this morning. First one is the plan. And here I am in my life, and here we are sometimes as churches or individuals or groups going, okay, Lord, what's the plan from here? What direction do we go? And in as much as it's comforting to know that God knows the plan, there have been times when I'm going, okay, fine, I'm ready, mm-hmm. Tell me, I'm ready now. And God doesn't always give us the exact direction until it's exactly time. Isaiah 30:21 says this, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And it's almost a picture of an intersection, and you don't know where you're going until the last second. And they say, all right, turn here, turn here, turn here. Clearly, God has the plan. What is the plan? Literally, three parts to it. First of all, peace. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Now, this is where, I'm not sure how many of you have an NIV this morning? Okay, that's what I carry. This is NIV. This is my mom's NIV Bible. Incidentally, if you think I'm not using my Bible, I print it big so that I can read it because my eyes are old. NIV is probably my favorite translation, but every now and then there will be a translation that does not get it, and this is one of those instances where the word in the NIV is not what's in the Hebrew here. Because the Lord says, my plan is to prosper you. And this is where the prosperity gospel guys are all over it. Oh, good. God's going to bring me prosperity. Have you ever heard the name Jesse Duplantis? He's a TV preacher from Louisiana, probably a pretty good preacher, but he's big, big into prosperity gospel. And he said, and I quote, God told me that he wants me to believe for a Falcon 7X, which is a $54 million jet. That's not what Jeremiah is talking about here. God does have plans to prosper us as a people, but it's not in financial means. It's in peace form. And the picture here is that he's going to complete everything to the point where we just go, ah, there, the last piece of the puzzle is in place. The 15th of August, 2011, my mom passed away, and they called us in the morning. Mom had fallen, and they'd taken to the hospital, and the doctor said, you get your family together. And I was in Brantford, and I grabbed, two of my kids had to work that day, so I grabbed my youngest, and we got to Belleville about 12:30, and my sister had been here all weekend. My brother was in a wedding in Calgary the day before, and he was flying home at noon, I think, on Sunday, was to land in Toronto sometime between 2 and 3, and when he did land, there was a massive lightning storm, and they were trapped in the plane for nearly 2 hours, stuck on the tarmac, couldn't debark. And so there we sat, worrying that Mom might not be there when Bruce arrived. And it was 7:30, finally, by the time he got into the room. And I remember having been with Mom since about 1 o'clock or so, in and out of lucidity, and we had some decent visits. It was just we were there, but we weren't all together yet. And if I shut my eyes, I can still see the look on her face when my brother walked in. It was like the last piece of the puzzle. And the peace that enveloped her life in that moment was, you could see it on her face. That's what Jesus wants to bring to us. He wants to bring peace and not harm. Second part of this, he says, I want to give you hope. I don't think there's anything more discouraging in the middle of a difficult time than losing hope. It's going to be a while sometimes. Look at these guys, 70 years. For us, it's been 2.5 maybe. But the Lord says, I want to give you hope. And he said, I want to give you a future. In the Hebrew here, the future means the after part, which in some ways is like your descendants. I want to give you hope for your descendants. I want to give you the after part, a reputation, a posterity, a name, a legacy. The Lord is interested in that kind of thing. So that's God's plan. He wants to give those things to us. Now the second P is our part. And it's almost like there's a mathematical equation here. God said, if you do your part, I'll do my part. And he gives us the third P, is a promise. But what is our part? And you go, God, is he that way? Well, it says in Scripture, if you will speak his name before your world, he will speak our name before the Father. It's almost like a deal. Well, what is our part here? First of all, he said we must call on him. And it literally means to proclaim his name. Now, I grew up Baptist, and we don't do a whole lot of proclaiming. In fact, we sit with our hands in our pockets and we don't move our feet because it might lead to dancing. That's just the way we were brought up, and very, very sedate and calm. And so the thought of standing on the top of the roof and proclaiming and yelling Jesus' name just makes my hair stand up. It stood up and it left is what it did.
But call on me, he said, call on me. I sang in a church, I was scheduled to sing in a church in Amherstburg one time, it was anniversary services. And this was a long time ago, and I had cassette tapes. And I had given my cassette tapes to the sound guy, and I was sitting in the audience. They had four or five other people scheduled to sing. And they didn't call me, and they didn't call me, and they didn't call me. And I'm nervous. And the preacher starts, and I'm going, I'm relieved, just like that. Because they didn't call on me. So afterwards, the minister comes up to me. He goes, well, you didn't sing. And I'm going, you didn't call on me. And he goes, oh, yeah, I forgot. I got nervous for 3 days getting worried about it. But that's simply it. You don't have because you don't ask. It says in James, listen to this. You desire, but you do not have. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And here's a promise. We're going to get to that in a second. So what do we have to do? We have to ask. We have to come. Literally, walk. Come to church. That's been hard for me in the pandemic because I didn't have to go. Got to stay home in my jammies and sit on my couch. I got to enjoy church. I got to enjoy teaching. I listened to a lot of concerts online, worship, all kinds of stuff. But I didn't go. In the picture here, he says in the third part, he says, I want you to come and I want you to call on me, but I want you to pray. And it means to intervene and to help people. And you can't do that from your couch at home. Sometimes we have to be here to actually help. Intervening part. When I was a kid, you'll remember this, I borrowed your brother's tuba for the longest time because I didn't have one. And I finally got a tuba. And my grandmother gave me a bunch of money, and I had worked for three or four summers, and my parents helped, and we spent an exorbitant amount of money and bought this tuba. And when I went away to college, we shipped it. And I sent four boxes and a tuba by bus to Alberta to college. And I got there, and three of the boxes had arrived. And no box with my bedding and no tuba. And in as much as I would like to tell you that I trusted God completely, I was frantic. And I had to audition for the orchestra in a beat-up tuba like you never saw in your life. The fact that they took me was miraculous. And I remember calling my parents and going, we've got to get people to pray. And they phoned Grandma Dunnan. Do you remember Grandma Dunnan? Grandma Dunnan was my adopted grandmother who I knew to be the greatest prayer warrior on earth. And you know what she did? She intervened for me. And I was frantic. For 2 or 3 days, I kept going up to the purchaser's office going, did it come? On the fourth day, I walked up and I opened the door and I could see down the hall, and way at the end of the hall was my horn. And the first call I made was to Mom and Dad and said, call Grandma Dunnan, because she got through. And God says, I want you to do your part. I want you to pray for people. I want you to intervene. I want you to step in and help. And the third P this morning is a promise. As God said, if you, knowing that I have a plan, will do your part, here's my promise to you. He says, I will hear you. I will listen. It's interesting to me when I'm visiting with somebody and their phone will buzz. And I'll be in the middle of a story. The other day I was in the middle of what I thought was a really good story. And all of a sudden, and they're looking like this. And I continued my story for about three sentences and I just stopped. And they didn't even notice because they weren't listening. You go, God's not like that. God's phone doesn't buzz when we're in the middle of talking to him. God says, when you call on me, I will listen. Second and third parts of that, he said, I will be found and I will bring you back. Here's the I will be found part. In the Hebrew, it's matzah, which means to attain. It's almost like a treasure hunt. You go, is it really that simple? How many of you have geocached? Have you ever geocached? Geocaching is where you take a GPS and you look up. In fact, I've got a geocaching thing here this morning, and I apologize for the colors of this thing. I know some of you don't like the colors of Montreal. This was a gift from my buddy Carl, who passed away in November. It's called the Travel Bug, and this is a cache. And what they'll do is they'll take this and hide it somewhere, and it's got a code on the bottom, and that code is entered online, and you have that, and it'll give you the coordinates of it, and it'll be hidden in a little box in a tree or a magnetized thing under a lamppost or somewhere, and you hunt and hunt and hunt, and the greatest joy is to find this thing. Now, it says on here, do not keep this. I kept it because it reminded me of Carl. But what you're supposed to do is take it and then hide it again so that somebody else can go seek it and find it, because there's something worth finding there. And that's the picture here. When you seek God, you will find him. When I was at hospice, I did bereavement programming, and one of the difficulties was to say to people, I know where I found hope when I was grieving. I hurt when my mom died, and I was grieving for a long time after my dad died. It says in Scripture, we grieve, but not as those who have no hope. And for people who don't know the Lord, who don't have faith, who don't see things that way, it's almost empty words to say, well, I found it in my faith. And that turns people off in a great deal. So here's what I said. I said, if you seek peace, I think you'll find it. And we talked about spiritual side, because we are tripartite beings. We're body, soul, and spirit. And your spirit, when your body dies, will go somewhere. And that's a question that they can't answer, nor can I. I had one of our patients became my friend, and for almost 2 years, he was on our books. And during the pandemic, we couldn't go, we couldn't send people, we just phoned. And so I talked to him once a month, all through the pandemic, and at one point he phoned in and said, by the way, I have accessed MAID, Medical Assistance in Dying, and such a day will be my last day. And then he called me every day, and then the last week he called me 2 or 3 times a day. Probably wasn't the way hospice ministry was meant to be, but that's how it worked out for him and for me. And I grieved when he was gone. And the last day he said to me, I'm not sure what's on the other side. It's really what's confusing me. And I said to him, I can tell you what I believe, but I've never been, so I don't know. But I know what the Bible says. And I said, if you draw near to God, says in James, he'll draw near to you. And if you seek, you will find there's a treasure to be had when you seek God. One last thought. Jesus said, I will bring you back. And the older I get, the more frustrated I am sometimes that things aren't the way they used to be. I was a member at Quinney Bible Chapel. It got absorbed by Parkdale. Several of my friends who are pastors, their churches are merging with other churches because it's not the way it used to be. There are 670,000 churches in North America, approximately, and 71% of them have under 100 people in attendance. So we're in the, by a long shot, the majority here. Average church size in that group is 200 in terms of a building, 200 seats. Average attendance is 65, which is 32.5%. Incidentally, you have 60 seats here today and 51 people. So you're way above average. But it's not the way it used to be, is it? Remember in the days, Sunday nights, the orchestra at Hastings Park? I couldn't wait to get to church. And now you go, most churches don't have a Sunday night service, and I get it. When I'm working Monday morning first thing, by noon on Sunday, I'm starting to wind down going, I've got to get my rest or I'm not going to be any good tomorrow. It's just so different than it used to be. I lament the fact that it wasn't the way it was. And God said, I will bring you back. It's a picture of a library book being returned. It's just that simple. God said, I will put things back in place the way it needs to be. In the process of purging my house, I've been going through books, and I came across this book. This is from 1870, and this is from the Methodist Sunday School on Simpson Avenue, and it's from their church library. And it says on the flyleaf, 1 cent per week charged for retaining book over 2 weeks. So I looked it up. The book itself, as it sits here, is, let's see, I wrote it down, it's worth $54. The late fees are $74.61, so I'm not going to return it. I thought probably what I'd do is I'd stick it in your church library and run out the back door this morning, and because it's not complete, it's not back the way it was. Incomplete. God says, I promise to make things complete. And some days, it's not enough to know that God has a plan, but it is enough to know that he is going to fulfill it in his time. Let's pray together. Father, as we sit here and find ourselves in the process of waiting, Lord, we're at a junction. Lord, we don't know how to proceed sometimes from here. Lord, where will we work? Where will we live? Where will we eat? Where will we go to church? Lord, what will happen if the government starts taxing our buildings? Will we lose our building? Lord, what will happen if? What will happen if? Lord, we plead with you this morning to bring us hope and peace for a future, knowing that in spite of all the unanswered questions, you do have a plan for us, a plan to prosper us with peace and not harm, to give us a hope for the future. Lord, we claim that this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen.